You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your San Antonio Spurs are in the midst of a six-game homestand, and they started off it pretty well, going up 2-0. And mind you, this is recorded before the Spurs hosting the Phoenix Suns. But what we're going to do today, we're going to actually talk about an individual player, LaMarcus Aldridge. He's been, you know, the target of a lot of scrutiny from Spurs fans. You've heard trade him. You've heard he's no good. You heard get rid of him. You heard he's garbage. Then you're the other side where fans are giving him the benefit of the doubt, saying, look, you know, he's playing out of position. You know, there's a new guy in town, DeMar DeRozan. So, basically, is it fair? Is it fair for him to get this criticism? To join me to talk about this topic, I'm going to be introducing Gerald Tracy, my colleague at News 4 San Antonio. Gerald, welcome back to Locked On Spurs.
Hey, thanks for having me back, man. Glad to be here.
Not a problem. All right, let's just dive right into this, Gerald. You look, you heard the intro. LaMarcus has kind of been, you know, the target of a lot of Spurs fans' hate. They don't like him. They think he's garbage. Get rid of him, as I said, blah, blah, blah. Where do you stand? Do you think it's fair for him to get this type of criticism?
You know, I think it's fair. I don't. I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, too, and I was going on talking about how it's not completely fair, and I'm still going to say that because, I mean, at the end of the day, whenever a team is doing well or not, you're always going to attack the All-Stars. You're never going to say, oh, the bench sucks. Well, not the everyday fan, or everyday fan's not going to attack the rookie, or they're going to attack the All-Stars. That's just what it is. I mean, if Golden State's playing poorly, they're going to say Steph or Kevin Durant are playing bad, or they're out and injured. If, you know, Boston was playing poor last year, Kyrie was out, playing great, get Gordon Hayward, stuff like that. So, of course, you're going to attack LaMarcus Aldridge. However, I do, after looking a little more into the stats, Jeff, I do understand where some of these Spurs fans are coming from. LaMarcus isn't playing that far off his average, of his career averages. Let's remind everybody, he's not the Tim Duncan that we're so used to. Tim Duncan's defensive rating for his career stuck at 95.65. That's one heck of a defensive rating.
Oh, yeah.
This year right now, I have it right over here. Homeboy is, sorry, I'm trying to read
it. It's okay.
Aldridge is at 114 for his defensive rating. That's poor.
That's really horrible.
That's bottom 30 in the NBA right now. You've got guys that Ben McLemore is playing, I think, not that far away from his numbers. And not that Ben McLemore is a terrible NBA player, but you would think LaMarcus Aldridge and Ben McLemore aren't in the same sentence unless they got in a fight at a club. I mean, it's just it's one of those things where, like, you look at that stuff like that. And, I mean, he can bring up numbers, you know, defensive rebounds. He's still top in the leagues and that stuff, but he's a big guy. He's playing the five right now. I mean, rebounds are going to come. That's what happens in the NBA. Of course, a lot more goes into just being there at the moment. But, again, being there for 30-plus minutes a game under the basket is going to help. There's just a lot of things. And, I mean, like, it's warranted. But at the same time, like, they need to take a step back and realize that this is who he is. He's a 33-year-old NBA player who is the only one remaining from the top five picks of his draft.
Wow.
The other guys aren't even playing in the NBA. He's an older guy. There's guys who have been at his level or better at this point in their career. At that point in their career, at 33, who had the result to being role players. I mean, Rondo at 30 is when he started going downhill. People loved Kendrick Perkins, and at 30, he went downhill.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not very often that you get a guy who's going to be playing past that 32, 33 years of age guy. Now, are we going to see LaMarcus go downhill for, is this like the beginning of the end? I don't know. It doesn't help that he's on a 14 right now.
Well, for me, I kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, look at his numbers again before the Phoenix game, because, again, this is recorded before the Spurs took on Phoenix. Averaging 18.2 points per game, 9.9 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 1.2 blocks, and about 45% shooting from the field. Not bad, considering DeMar DeRozan is in town, you know, and he is getting a lot of the usage. You know, he's the number one usage player for San Antonio. But I think what is bothering Spurs fan is that aggression in the paint. You're looking at last season, he was averaging a lot, 12.6% of his shots he got fouled on. That just told me he was being aggressive going to the rim, in the paint. He was really looking for his shot. Defenders were clamping down on him, and, you know, because rightfully so, he had an all-star season. But this year, 9.9% of his shots result in a free throw, telling me, you know, either one, he's not being aggressive, or two, he's deferring too much to DeMar DeRozan and trying to get him involved. However, Gerald, one key factor in this is the absence of Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol has been hurt. We don't know when he's going to come back, foot injury. But he's playing out of position right now. Do you think that is affecting LaMarcus Aldridge and why his numbers are dropped?
Yeah, I mean, of course. That's something that with any player, athlete, you pick him out of their position that they're used to or they like, it's going to be a little tougher. At the same time, you would like to see LaMarcus Aldridge be able to play, be fine at five. Just because, I mean, he's a big guy. He's mid-range shooter. Under the basket, in the paint, is where some of his best shots come from. Some of the best shots in the game, percentage-wise. So you would like to see him do fine. But you got to wonder if, like, maybe being out of that position is throwing him off a bit.
Yeah.
And then last year was great for Aldridge, of course. You got to remember, last year he didn't have a guy like DeMar DeRozan. He had Kawhi for, what, 9 games?
Yeah, 9 games, that's it.
So, I mean, he was the guy. I mean, Rudy Gay was there, but, I mean, it was LaMarcus Aldridge. That was who they were looking for. Monty would come in, don't you? But, I mean, you're taking away shots from him. Yeah, I believe he's 2 or 3 shots less per game is what I remember. Again, he was also averaging 37 minutes a game up until this recent past 10 games. He's back down under 30 now, which is good for him, good for his body. Hopefully we'll start seeing some better play from him, but I mean, you got to think, as Spurs fans are going to jump to the conclusion, like, he doesn't want to be here, he doesn't want to be there, he's not happy, he just want to throw the game. Marcus Aldridge isn't that kind of person.
No, he's definitely not. And look, I get it, you know, why he's getting, he's being the whipping boy for most of the season, because Spurs fans were spoiled. They came off a season seeing him shine and seeing him look like an all-star, and he was an all-star. He rocked it last season. This year, not. Now, look, you're looking at during this 2-game winning streak, again, I gotta preface this again, Gerald, before the Spurs versus Suns game, he averaging 17 points per game, 52% shooting, 7 rebounds per game, and 2 blocks. So he's still being that steady force. All in all, I just think playing out of position, having DeMar DeRozan in town, you know, he's no longer the focal point anymore. He was that last year. I mean, if I give you 100 touches per game, Gerald, you're going to be putting up numbers. If I then start passing it to another colleague of ours at News 4, and your numbers are going to drop if I start giving him touches. I forgive him, you know, in the sense of why the numbers are down. I get it. But again, I think that aggression that we saw last year is gone. Of all the of his average, he's only averaging 9 points in the paint. That's it, Gerald. I expect more out of that in that department.
Yeah, I mean, everybody should.
Yeah.
Especially if somebody lives in the paint, you got to expect more from that. Again, he's also, I mean, you want to talk about his effectiveness on the court. I mentioned this to you earlier today. He has 24 lost ball turnovers, and that's tied number 8 in the NBA.
Yeah, that's bad.
Not many guys are ahead of him. You have Zach LaVine, 34, James Harden, 31, and D'Angelo Russell, 27. I mean, out of those three guys by themselves, James Harden is really the only one that probably doesn't. I mean, James Harden might surprise you, might not, because of the way he plays the game.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But look. I get it, like I said, but I'm on camp, forgive him. I know a majority of Spurs fans are in camp, trade him. Literally, there's social media, go look at it. Spurs fans are saying, trade him, get it out of here. It doesn't also help, too, that Jakob Poeltl has been coming on of late and being a traditional center and being that guy who plays a pick and roll and playing in the paint and showing toughness. and doing some dirty work. And I think that's what Spurs fans want to see out of LaMarcus. But we're going to take our first break. We get back, we're going to talk about this whole thing that Spurs fans say trade him and why that's not a smart thing. Or maybe in Gerald's opinion, maybe it is a smart thing. I don't know. We'll find out. Okay, we are back, and I'm joined by Gerald Tracy, News 4 San Antonio, my colleague out there. Good guy to follow. Gerald, do you want to give out your Twitter handle?
It's Matt G. Tracy S.A.
There you go. Give him a follow. He'll love to talk to you about Spurs and NBA all day. All right, so you've heard it. You know, a lot of Spurs fans saying, trade LMA, trade him, trade him. First of all, I'm going to say this. That's unfeasible. I don't think any NBA team is going to want a 33-year-old big man in this era with a contract that he has with them that's going to go with him wherever he goes.
Exactly. I mean, who are you going to get? And that's kind of a trending conversation with Spurs fans, regardless of player. I mean, we were talking about it with Kawhi just a few months ago. Who are you going to get? I mean, he's a great player, but everybody knows he's going to be free at the end of the year, so they can just throw money at him then, not waste draft picks, not waste one of their players. The Spurs were lucky to get DeMar DeRozan in that trade.
Yeah, they were.
Now, who are you going to get from LaMarcus Aldridge? Because LaMarcus isn't Kawhi. So, I mean, you're talking about – we talked about it last time I was on the podcast. Spurs got DeRozan for that, and that was great, and it's good. It's probably the best possible scenario out of that Kawhi trade. But you're still losing points because Kawhi was scoring 25 and holding opponents to, what, 10 points a game, let's just say, for an example. And DeRozan's doing scoring 25 but holding opponents to 23. So it's a – big swing, but that's probably still the best possible scenario. Now, what are you going to get for LaMarcus?
Yeah.
You trade away LaMarcus, I think that does say a lot about what the Spurs are looking for this year. So if you do see a trade, which I don't think will happen, you're talking about Spurs entering that rebuild mode or that mode where they're just preparing for the offseason instead of the playoffs. I just, like you said, well, who's going to want a 33-year-old aged big man with the contract he has who isn't playing at a top – at his top efficiency rating that he's used to playing at. I mean, adjusted field goal percentage, he's third. He's the third worst on the team.
Yeah.
Derek White and me too are ahead of him.
Wow, that's saying a lot. When two guards are ahead of a big man, efficiency,
or behind him, sorry.
You know, because he figured he plays in the paint. You know, he has very low percentage shots presented to him closer to the rim versus the high percentage shots away from the rim. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. But look, I think, you know, after he was recruited to San Antonio during his free agency period a few seasons ago, I think Popovich, he talked to him, the Spurs brass talked to him, he convinced him to ink with San Antonio. Then, of course, we know about the infamous trade me period after his second season in San Antonio. They smoothed things over. They gave him a healthy contract. I think he's in there for the long haul, barring any type of major offer that the Spurs get, you know, from another team. I don't see him going away from San Antonio, and I dare say he may finish his career with the Spurs. What do you think about this, Gerald, though, the fact that Jakob Poeltl, at least in the last two games, prior to the Phoenix game, that it was Poeltl that was in the fourth quarter, not LaMarcus? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it says a lot, but at the same time, I think it's the best possible scenario for LaMarcus. They've already said it for a guy who's getting up there in age and not retired as a man yet, but he is getting up there in age to take away from 37 minutes to 29 minutes per game, take away that 8 minutes off his knees, let him rest, give him that break where he's allowed to relax. As a starter, you may not admit it, but in the back of your head, you're worried. When I come off the court, this team's going to lose my production. This team's going to lose my what I'm trying to do on the court. And right now, with Poeltl playing as well as he's doing, he's taking a lot of pressure, not off just LaMarcus, but the entire Spurs team.
Yeah.
He's allowing them to breathe while the starters are off the court. And if Poeltl's the guy that has to do it, it's fine. I'm a fan of giving the ball to a hot hand. Of course, some teams don't have to do that. Some teams have, you know, Kawhi or LeBron or different guys who can
Warriors,
hit clutch shots. Yeah, they got six different guys who can hit a clutch shot. If Poeltl's the hot hand, ride it. The Spurs need that hot hand right now. And it's good for him. I guess taking minutes off of him, allowing him to breathe, allowing Poeltl to really grow. Because right now, I mean, if let's say LaMarcus does retire here in San Antonio, you've got a few more years of LaMarcus to really grow Poeltl into what he could be, or anybody else into what they could be. And the Spurs have done that time and time again in their history. To see it happen again wouldn't be that big of a surprise, I don't think. So.
Yeah. Again, you know, I don't make too much of the fact that Poeltl has been playing in the fourth late in games. I think it's just for the benefit of the team. If that's what's working for San Antonio late in games, so be it. Wins matter more. And let's face it, this NBA season, or any NBA season, past and present and future, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So if I can have a rested LaMarcus Aldridge come put playoff push, if the Spurs get to that point, or even if it's available, you know, they got to win out or something, and, you know, to have a fresh, not ragged and LaMarcus Aldridge, I'd take that, you know, over Poeltl. You know, he's only in his third season. He doesn't have that type of experience in the NBA like LMA does. And, you know, take it for what it's worth, but LMA, you know, is an NBA vet. He's seen, he's been to the circus before many times. You know, he knows exactly what's up. And not to knock Poeltl. Poeltl's a great piece, you know, almost a forgotten piece in the Kawhi Leonard, DeMar DeRozan trade. But so far, so good for Poeltl, and I think this is going to benefit LMA. All right, Gerald, let's take our final break. We get back, we're going to wrap up this episode of Locked On Spurs. All right, we are back, and I'm joined by Gerald Tracy, News 4 San Antonio. Gerald, let's go to wrap this up. Are you team criticism on LMA or team forgiving LMA?
I'm going to add a third option, if that's all right.
Yeah, go for it.
I am team challenge LMA.
Okay.
In my opinion, there are two big places he needs to work on right now. Of course, getting that shot per game inside the paint percentage up. He's, for as long as the foreseeable future until Paul does come back, he's the guy that's going to be down there in the paint. Get that percentage up. Raise your efficiency rating on offense. Also, he needs to lower his turnovers per game. As of right now, he's, I want to say 24, allowing 24 points off of, trying to find it again. Excuse me. I'm trying.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
It's all scattered apart, guys. But, and forgive me for the podcast listeners out there, but his turnovers per game, or turnovers turning into offensive points for the other team per game,
yeah,
is the highest on the team for the Spurs right now. That's a big issue, obviously. Yeah. So, of course, get your turnovers down, get your, and then, of course, get your, in your paint points up, and what's going on? I mean, like, other than that, he'll be playing fine. Again, he's not too far off his average. 28th in blocks in the NBA right now. He's leading the team with 1.22 blocks per game. So, it's not like he's hindering the Spurs that much.
Yeah.
Again, the criticism, of course, it's probably a little bit warranted, but we're also only a quarter of the way through the season, a little bit over. It's 24, 25 games through the season. It's had a pretty tough stretch, but he's not the only one. He is not the reason
exactly.
The Spurs are playing poorly.
Exactly.
It's just not. And, I mean, you look at it, why have the Spurs done well in the past two games? Again, only two games, but why have they done well? Poeltl. Poeltl has stepped up. Not much else has changed. Defensively, they've stepped up to the plate. They've played better against teams that, in LeBron and the Lakers, that's a good one. Utah's a little bit hindered. It's like, are they coming back to earth after a year of greatness? But, they've played well against those two teams, which they should have and they needed to defensively. But Poeltl's really the big reason they won those games. He is the MVP for those two games, in my opinion. And, that's good. And if you get stuff like that off your bench, NBA teams everywhere will tell you the bench is what matters. So before you criticize LaMarcus, remember what he and the Spurs didn't have on the bench up until recently. Again, we could be having a completely different conversation in 5 days.
Yeah.
6 days, six games. Spurs win all of them. We're talking about how great they've been and how masterful Pop is with Poeltl and the LaMarcus trade-off and all these different things. Or if they lose all of them, we're probably right back here saying, who's the blame?
Yeah.
But right now, I can't find a reason to blame LaMarcus too much for everything.
Exactly.
He's worse on the team in defensive rating. He's playing worse defensively than Enes Kanter. But again, last 10 games or so, with the arrival of Poeltl playing better and Poeltl getting more minutes, he's gotten better stats. And that's, I mean, it's really almost, I don't want to say it's the answer, but it's almost as simple as, hey, the guy's getting 8 minutes of breathing time a game, which is a lot. It's almost a full quarter.
Yeah, and also look at this too. You know, you've been harping on it. You know, this is a team game, and collectively they, you know, they have to look at themselves in the mirror for their slow start. Now, granted, are they turning it around? I don't know. I think it's still wait and see. You mentioned Utah. Utah's been kind of, you know, they haven't really been on top of their game. The Lakers, the Spurs seem to have their number this season. Unfortunately, their number is done because they're done playing them for the rest of the season. And I also think, too, we'll see where they get tested yet. I still think the Spurs team needs a signature win. I don't think we have one yet. You may point to the Warriors. That may be the closest win. But then again, they did not have Green nor Curry in that match. So we'll see how they do when big teams come in to San Antonio. The 76ers are coming up soon. I think the Clippers are next up. And also, too, they play well at home. I want to see this team play good like this away from the AT&T Center. And, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge is going to have to step up his game. So is the criticism warranted? I agree with you, yes. Is it all his fault? No. But I'm on team, give him a break. He's asked to do more than what he's expected to do this season. He's playing out of position. Remember, when he was being recruited, when he was leaving Portland, the Knicks, I believe, the Knicks, they told him, we want you to come in and play the five. And he rebuffed them fast. He said, no, I ain't going to play for you guys. So when the Spurs said, hey, you played four with us, because at that time, Tim Duncan was playing the five, that made sense. Now he's playing a position that he clearly doesn't like to play. So give him a break. I think we have to see what he does when Pau Gasol gets back. Personally, I think that might change his outlook as the season goes on. But, yeah, turnovers got to stop and just being more aggressive around the rim. All right, so Gerald and I, we're done talking about LaMarcus Aldridge. We want to hear what you have to say. You can email me at You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at @JeffGSpursZone. And if anybody wondering why I'm kind of rushing it, because Gerald's at work right now, so I'm trying to be cool and let him go back to work. Did he get in trouble by our mutual boss? So he could be cool. But you need to go to the Spurs Zone. You really have to go to the Spurs Zone, because everything you need for the black, silver and black is there. News 4 San Antonio, Fox 29 San Antonio.com. Go visit there. Now, Gerald's going to tell you everything you need to know how to contact him.
You can get me at GTracySA on Twitter. Also, my email will be GTracySBGTV.com. That is also on my Twitter, I believe. So get ready for all the hey emails from y'all talking about and how Marcus needs to retire or be traded away for some socks and a sandwich or something like that. But no matter what you guys are doing listening to this, whether it be tonight, tomorrow, whenever this is uploaded, remember not to take tonight's game too seriously. It is the Phoenix Suns. Unless the Spurs lose, then we'll be having a whole other conversation.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and the last time when Gerald made his debut, man, he got some mentions on Twitter. They definitely were coming at him. So be a part of the party. Go after Gerald. Follow him on Twitter at the Twitter handle he gave you. Gerald, final thoughts?
No, sir.
All right. So for Gerald Tracy, I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.